Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Get us into a good worship mode. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's begin, first of all, a couple of prayer requests. One of our members, Julian, who lives on the East Coast, I think it's New Jersey. Where's Jim? Northeast. Is Julian in New Jersey? She's okay. Over there in the Carolinas, roaming around the Carolinas is one lady named Julian. You know who you are, wherever you are tonight. We're not sure where you are, darling, but wherever you are, we're praying for you. So, but Julian needs our prayers. So let's be in prayer. Let's be in prayer for Amber. Let's be in prayer for Nathan, two of our young people. And just try to remember that over the weekend, not just on days that you come here, but in your time when you go into prayer, be in prayer for Nathan, be in prayer for Amber, be in prayer for Julian, be in prayer for Sharon, who is a friend of Judith Young's. She was in surgery for 10 hours Monday, and they were just taking just gobs of cancer out of her. They didn't plan on finding that much. And so please be in prayer for her. And then I got a really good prayer request. Jim, did we turn off that mic? Good. Got a really good prayer request for you. These are the kind of calls that just, I remember in this movie, Patton, they said if you give Patton a headline, he'll go for another 10 miles on a gallon of gas with all of his tanks. And it's the kind of call that was just wonderful. A lady called from California, and another taper had been talking to her and for some time, and yesterday she finally saw it, and she said she's just been so happy to understand the freedom and not the law of confession or feeling this, concentrating on sin, but concentrating on the Lord, concentrating on His love. And I can tell, not all the time, but I can tell when a person has seen it or not. Sometimes people say, yeah, I see the difference, what you're saying about faith and the spirit, the spirituality, and not works. And I kind of go, okay, maybe, maybe not. Then there's sometimes you can tell. And this lady sees it. And she's just eating up the internet on the study of Galatians in just 2 days. And that's what calls her to take some time to call. Her name is Susan. So please be in prayer that God the Holy Spirit will protect her. Let's kind of talk about being in prayer for this lady. Let's pray that God will put a canopy, a barrage around her, protect her until she gets stable in it, before she's hit with a challenge to that type of understanding of Scripture and the grace and the faith way. Because oftentimes I pray, especially for young people, when I know they're going to be in some kind of an assembly and hear the truth, that God will keep their friend away, they don't get to sit together, something that friend would be a distraction. Because you know how kids are. And we distract each other. Flirting, not paying attention to what's going on, disagreeing with what's going on, and bother those around you, rioting, talking. And so I pray for that kind of protection, and just pray that for a period of time, known only by God, known only by Him, isn't that a Him? And known only to Him. And to just protect her, let her hear, understand, and then go into the challenge if that's what she really believes and sees it. But today she was one excited lady. So be in prayer for Susan. We'll be in prayer for Julian. Be in prayer for Amber. Be in prayer for Nathan. Be in prayer for John Hintz. Be in prayer for Nancy Becker. Be in prayer for Cindy Edwards. And be in prayer for each other. Because each of us need our prayers. Honey, how's your dad doing? So we need to continue to be in prayer. Yeah. What's his first name? Oh. Bob's a great guy. I met Bob at the wedding, and just a really great guy. So, okay, so we in prayer for each other, people, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you so much for the God that you are. That you are a God that we can come to in prayer. That we can let our burden be made known to you, our requests. We can intercede for other believers and unbelievers even. That's what kind of God you are. We pray now, Father, that your Spirit, that you would have us to see in the study that we are now in, dealing with your love, how you love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in the midst of studying the new commandment in John 13. The new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we have come to the phrase, new commandment. And so, first of all, we have noted that it is new in origin. In other words, Moses was the source of the Mosaic Law, and now the Son of God is the origin of the new commandment, Jesus Christ, his humanity, gives to us the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. Then we noted Roman numeral 2, it was new in immediate source. This commandment is new in immediate source. A new commandment I give to you. And the source of this love that is going to come out is from the new spiritual creation. You are a new spiritual creature, all believers in the church age, and this love has never been here before as we have here. Then, and this is where we left off last week, we are in Roman numeral 3. It is new in direction. It is new in direction. Love one another. So we are to love one another, and that is other believers. The old commandment to love other Jews, other people of the new race. Mosaic law, what does it say? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it didn't matter whether the neighbor was an unbeliever or believer, and it didn't matter whether you were a believer or not. Just the point that a Jew is to have a certain love in regard to other Jews. And then, so point one, we looked up the Mosaic law, love other Jews. The new commandment is to love other believers. So that's whom we are to love. Then we noted point two last week, Leviticus. This is where we read the commandment, Leviticus 19:17-18. And that's where we are right now at that point. So point one was the direction for Leviticus. Now tonight we're ready for point three. So you can keep your notes kind of flowing in the momentum that I have so you can think your way through this. So point three. Now, we just read in the Leviticus passage, Leviticus 19:17, I'll just read it for you. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart, of the Jews. You shall not hate him. You may surely reprove your neighbor, take him to court, but you shall not incur sin because of him, hatred, anger, these kind of things. You shall, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudges of your people. The sons of your people, again referring to other Jews, new race. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. Now, point three. John 14, Jesus Christ gives a new direction. A new direction. You recall that love is a force. And as a force, love has direction. Direction of love in the new commandment is toward other believers. It's fun, helpful, it's really a teaching tool. And a teaching tool is to grasp the concept. Force. And there are three major properties in force. A force, one has direction. A force has direction. Secondly, a force has magnitude, measurability. And then three, love has a force has impact. The three major properties of any force. And in spiritual love, I use this to communicate spiritual love. Spiritual love, direction. Manic. Guy or girl who says, I love, and 3 hours later say the same thing to somebody else. That's multidirectional in an area we don't want it to be multidirectional. The direction of the love is important. The impact of this love that brings out this whole concept and related love as a force. So God loved the direction. And the magnitude of it, that He gave only begotten Son. That's the magnitude of it. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the end. Don't want to lose this. Let's see here. Yeah, I have it on hand, so. How's that? Are we on? Good. Okay. Those of you on the disc or internet, we had to take a little battery break. Now, we're looking at love and as a communication, teaching element, device, if you please. We're looking at love as a spiritual force, as a force. And as a force, it has direction, magnitude, impact. And a verse to communicate this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's the direction, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's the magnitude, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the impact or effect. Now, personal note to you. When you are in the power of the Spirit, because this love, the spiritual love is a fruit of the Spirit, when you are in this love, your love toward others, your wife, your husband, your family, people at work, people in social life, people at church, wherever you are, direction, magnitude, impact. It's the magnitude of love, when we get there and analyzing this, that causes the most trouble. I'll tell you why. Because nothing will make greater demands of you than to love as Christ loved. Love will make greater demands than anything. Because you might have to be kind toward someone who has hurt you, offended you, and you're not going to want to do it. This is why magnitude here is a great issue. Under magnitude, many people's love grows cold. They don't want to love. They do not want to love the way that they, that spiritual love will require of them. Then there is an impact and effect. If you do let the Spirit have you express that love, it will have an impact or effect in the spiritual realm. So, under point three of our study, in John 13, Jesus Christ gives a new direction, and that direction is to love one another, other believers. To those who are in Christ by faith, who are born again. And I'm often asked when I teach this, but aren't we supposed to love unbelievers? People, it is much easier to love. First of all, I'm just teaching you what's in the Scripture. Now, but let's go a step further than that. It's much more difficult to love a believer sometime than an unbeliever. We don't expect something of it. If an unbeliever really does us wrong, well, they're not believers in Christ. Some family member that is a heathen and this kind of thing, or work or whatever. But boy, you let somebody at church do you wrong. You let somebody that's supposed to be a Christian do you wrong. And it's very difficult. So point three here is very important in dealing with the direction. Now point four. The direction is no longer all those under the Mosaic Law. It's not directed toward those under the Mosaic Law. It is directed toward those who are under a new spiritual creation. See, the Mosaic Law was directed to all those who are under what? A new racial creation. But now, it's a new spiritual creation. Those who are in Christ. Therefore, this is a new direction that has never existed on the planet Earth before. The new spiritual creation that we have in the church has never been on Earth before. Never existed. This is before God became man, the Mosaic Law. And what we're looking on is after He became man. So, this is how powerful this new commandment is. If we looked at how Christians treat one another, judge one another, malign one another, shoot one another, compete with one another, it's just the total absence of this love. And the only place the world is ever going to see this love is from believers, people. They're not going to see this love from Him. He's not here. They're only going to see this love in those who claim to be in Him. Christians use all kinds of theological tricks, theological manipulations to avoid fulfilling this new commandment of spiritual love. I mean, they just do everything to twist it and to deal with one another the way they want to, rather than to treat them as Christ has treated them. They will come up with new words, impersonal love, tough love, or this is just the doctrine of separation, and I can leave. Any manipulation of Scripture so that I don't have to lay down my life for you, so that you can be restored to Him. Any manipulation. Okay, that brings us to Roman numeral 4. So let's come now to Roman numeral 4. And, well, let's go back over here, if you please, where we were. Roman numeral 1, new in origin. Roman numeral 2, new in immediate source. Roman numeral 3, new in direction. Now we're ready for Roman numeral 4. New in its foundation. New in its foundation. All of these, we could have a lot of fun with these people. If I was teaching young people, young single people in romantic love, I'd do some of the same thing. I'd go through these same wonderful things that we learn from spiritual love in a lot of these principles and work them. They're just, these things are so powerful in so many areas of our life. But now let's look at a new foundation. And what is the new foundation? Look at it. As I loved you. Now that's a new foundation. As I have loved you. What was the foundation of the old commandment, as you loved yourself. As you loved yourself was the foundation, the compass, the direction of how to love. And this one is not how you love someone, but as I, how you love yourself, but as I love you. So this is the new commandment, new foundation. Now this phrase does several things. Let's know some of the impact of this phrase. First, it gives a new foundation, a new basis for love. Two, it defines how we should love one another. How should you love someone? The way they treat you? That's the way a lot of us love. That's the way you're going to treat me. That's the way I'm going to treat you. If that's the way you love me, then that's the way I love you. You don't love me anymore? Well, I don't love you either. That's the way we love. See? But not here. This is totally new. New foundation. New basis. Secondly, it defines how we should love one another. Now, there's one big problem here. One problem. If you do not know how Jesus Christ loved you, then you will not know how to love others. Our love for others is patterned after Christ's love for us. Our love for others is patterned after Christ's love for us. So, we ask ourselves a question, how did Christ love us? How did Christ love you? Well, let's talk about it. First of all, His love saw a need. His love saw a need. What does that tell you right up front? Love is observant. Love is observant. Very few husbands and wives are observant of their spouse. We get to where we are complacent, familiarity. A lot of things begin to happen over the years, over a period of time. Some people, it doesn't even take years. But we don't pay attention to each other. Others keep sharp. They're tone sensitive. Just think about when you were single, those of you that are married. When you're single, you're just super tone. In fact, you're hyper tone sensitive. What's wrong? Something's wrong. I know something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. And what they're telling you is the truth. What is going, there's nothing wrong between you and them, but things at work, things in their life, things in their soul, things in their body. But you hear it. But after a while, you quit listening with that sharp ear. You stop watching. I think Neil Diamond had a beautiful song. The kind of the theme of it was, you don't send me flowers anymore. Things start to happen in the relationship. So, the first thing I want you to see is, we ask the question, we're to love as Christ loved us. So we ask an honest question, well then how did Christ love? First thing His love did was to see a need. That tells us the first thing about love, it's observant. It's observant of the other person. What are your needs? What are your pains? You hurt? Let me help you. You need something? Let me get it for you. You need to get away. Any kind of answer you want to give here. But we could go to the spiritual realm, which is our study. What's going on spiritually in someone? So, first thing, His love did was see a need. Then, His love does all that it can to meet that need. Whatever it takes to meet that need. Now, what did it take Him? He had to lay His life down for us. That's the extent of it. That's the only thing that would meet that need. And that's why 1 John 3:16 is so powerful. We know love by this. He laid down His life for us. He saw a need. The only way the need was going to be met is if He laid down His life. And then the second half of 1 John 3:16, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Okay, I see your need. I see what it will cost to meet that need. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry you had that problem. Because I'm not going to pay that. I'm not going to give up my day. I'm not going to give up my plans. I'm not going to change this. I'm not going to do that. Just because you have a spiritual need. Yet when we love as Christ did, we will. Jesus Christ's love sought our good. It sought your good. Jesus Christ's love for you motivated him to think and act for your good. And that's what love will do to you. That's what this spiritual love by the Holy Spirit will do to us. His love saw our need, and the only way he could meet that need was to die. Now, this is in contrast to the love commanded by the Mosaic Law. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's how you love your neighbor. Your love for others based on how you love yourself. Seeking your own interest, seeking your best interest, and you think about yourself. How am I? What am I? What would I do here for me? It's all about me. My love for you is about me. See? Love one another as you love yourself. So my love for you is based on me. Now the new commandment, my love for you is based on His love for me. Do you notice what it does right off the barrel? It changes our whole direction of thought. The old commandment, where's the direction of thought? Myself. I've got to deal with you how I love myself. But watch what happens under the new commandment. You're not even an issue. It's how He, so my mind is constantly occupied on Him and His love for me, and that's how I love you. It changes our whole direction of thought toward Jesus Christ. This is a powerful, powerful thing. Love commanded by the Mosaic Law, concentrate on self. Love commanded by the New Commandment, do not think of self, but you think on Him. Your attention is drawn to how He loved you. And His love is a love that seeks the good of others. And I'm talking here spiritual. I'm talking here spiritual. Please remember that. This is Christ's love for you. This is how He loved you. And we start to get a hint on how we are going to love others when we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now this time, as I have loved you, is the aorist active indicative of agapao. It gathers into one concept, incarnation, sinless life, spirit-filled person of Jesus Christ that caused Him to go to the cross. As I have loved you, that's what He did. We know love by this. He laid down our life, His life for us. As I have loved you, the cross. No greater love hath any man than this, that he will lay down his life. That's the cross. That's what His love did. The active voice, Jesus Christ performed the action of the verb. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the person of Christ fulfilled the action. The indicative mood is the reality of His love. The reality of His love for us. The reality on how we are to love. As I loved you. This is so important. In understanding love. People, we're dealing right here with the most important issue on all the planet Earth. There is no issue greater than this. How Christ loved us and still loves us. How God loves us. For God so loved the world that He loves us. He's not a God up there judging, keeping score, and keeping track of our sins, keeping track of this, keeping track of that. That's not God. God is up there all right, and He's looking all right, and what's He looking at? What do you need? What do you need? What is the need you have in your soul? And His love will meet that need. Whatever it is that will bring us into a relationship with Him. His love set the pattern. His love set the standard for our love. The way God desires us to love. It is not a love that loves the way we want to be loved or the way we think about love. See, a lot of people, do you love me? No, and I don't love you. What will the love get me? Well, wait a minute. I don't want to love if I'm not getting something out of it. You're supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do this. Love is about me. Love is about what I'm going to get. Romantic love, it's about what I'm going to get sexually. It's about what I'm going to get as far as being taken care of, or as far as cooking, or sewing, or giving, and doing, and all. Love is about me. No, no, no. Spiritual love is about how Christ loved you. That's what it's about. It's not about the other person. It's not about you. It's about how Christ loved you. This is the way He loves. This is the way God desires us to love. Not by performance. God doesn't love us. Well, you did pretty good. I love you today. You didn't do so well. I don't love you. That's not His love, people. And I know Christians that think that way, and many unbelievers, religious people. But many people, that's the way God feels. You're real bad. Well, I don't love you today. Well, tell you something, people. Even in the human realm, we can grasp this. I was reared by a grand old lady. It didn't matter how bad we were. We had a good hot meal and clean sheets and a hug goodnight. Now, that may have been right after a blood-bringing whipping, but there was the sheet, there was the food, and there was the hug. People, God isn't up there, well, do you earn love? And see, many Christians, you've got to earn their love. You've got to perform to earn their love. If you haven't performed, you can lose it. And if you deal with anyone like that, bank on it. You will lose it. You will let them down some way. So we have to understand the basis of this love, the foundation of this love. So we know this love. If you are saved, those of you here, and I know you are, but those listening on the internet or tapes, if you are saved by faith alone in Christ alone, then let me tell you something. You know His love. You've been kissed by His love. David says that in one of the Psalms. And you've been saved. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. But you got it. That's His love. So, this part of our study of love means that a pattern has been established. I call it a foundation. I'm looking for many different words. Some words will connect differently for others. But the foundation of this love is as He loved you. The pattern of this love has been established. We are to love according to that standard of love, that pattern of love we have already experienced. Not some ideological love, but a love that every one of us has already experienced. He saved me. George Beverly Shea has a beautiful song. I listen to it almost every Sunday morning. The title of the song is "The Wonder of It All." And the ideal is the wonder of it all. That He loves you, and that He loves me. That's the wonder. That means what He's saying is, I can't fathom that. I can't understand that, but God loves you. And so this is the idea. This pattern has been set. We do not love as we love ourselves. Mosaic law. We do not live under the law, people. We do not live under the law any longer. We're set free of the law. Galatians 5:1. So we do not love that way. We do not love with a love that pleases us, protects us, satisfies us. This love may not satisfy you, your immediate physical good. It cost Him the cross. It cost God His Son. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loved you. We are to follow that procedure established by Christ. He set the pattern on how we're to love. We are to love according to the procedure, the pattern set before us. Love one another as I have loved you. We love with that same pattern. And we see this in 1 John 3:16. We forgive as He forgives. We serve as He serves us. There is no love, no basis of love that is greater, more powerful in giving results than the love of Christ for you. Nothing has greater results in life, in history, than the love with which Christ has loved us. That's how we're all saved. Now, there's one point about this love that we have to see over and over and over. And this is very important. If you're a note taker, take notes on this. You cannot produce this love. You cannot produce this love. So just forget it. Of trying to make it yourself. No human flesh can produce this love. This love is supernatural. This love can come only from God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you better know how to access this love from the Holy Spirit. People, let's take a look. Love one another as I have loved you. Let's take a look. Jesus Christ. Okay. First of all, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is deity. Now, had Jesus Christ loved us from His deity, from His own deity, could we love as He loved? No, because we're human. Let's go to the second point. Jesus Christ was perfect humanity. So we ask ourselves, had Jesus Christ loved us from His perfect humanity, could we do that? No, because we're not perfect. So we can't do that. So then how did He do it? Point three, Jesus Christ loved us through or by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how He loved us. And you have the Holy Spirit, so pow, now you and I can love as He loved. If He loved from His deity, we can't do it. If He loved from His humanity, we can't do it. But He loved from the power of the Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to flow those gifts of like spiritual love through Him to us, and you and I can do that now. Because every one of you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us are empowered by the Spirit inside of us. Now the trick is, how do I get the Holy Spirit to flow His power through me? That's a great question. I love in the gym, get into spiritual conversations. And questions are starting to ask, and I've established that a person is a believer, so I ask, okay, let me ask you a question. When you sin, and I'll go through some things, let's say a mental attitude like hate, or jealousy, or arrogance, or pride, or something like that, or some overt sin, stealing, or some sin of the tongue of talking back, or profanity, or something like this. How do you get back into the light? How do you get back into the Holy Spirit? How do you get back in harmony with God? I try to word it different ways. And so far, in all the years of my doing this, I've not had one person answer me. They just look at me. And they go, those that carry through the conversation, I don't know. What does your preacher teach? Now, I probably shouldn't, because I know my motivation's not good. My motivation is being sarcastic. But how does your preacher tell you to be filled with the Spirit? In various ways, he doesn't. Then I ask, okay, don't you think that's important? Don't you think that's just as important on how you were saved, to know how to be restored from sin? By now, the conscious ones are asking, okay, how? The ones that are still meditating on it and just going through where I'm taking them, yeah, I should know how to do that. Yeah, let me think about that. And they walk away, kind of. I got to get back on the machine. But people, this is essential. It is important to us to know how to be filled with the Spirit so we can fulfill the new commandment, as it is for us to know how to be saved eternally, or we're going to die without Him. So this is a crucial issue. So this is a new foundation. So let's know two principles. Principle one, you will never know how to fulfill this commandment if you do not know how Jesus Christ loved you. Principle two, you will never love as Jesus Christ loved you if you do not know how to be filled with the Spirit, to get this fruit of the Spirit flowing through you. So this new commandment is new in foundation. Point one. I know we've had other point ones here, but this is another point one. Don't get upset here. I'm using points, people, just to help us transitional thought, rather than just preaching. Just to help us, when you go over your notes, or you think through this, you're able to think through it on your own and see what's going on. Point one, the foundation of this command is in the love of Christ. It's in the love of Jesus Christ. A love that has never existed on earth before. A love that has never existed until God became man. That's dramatic in history. Point two. Now, I suppose some of you are going to get tired, but we won't do it that often yet. But look with me, if you will, at Leviticus 19 again. I've got to keep doing this because the new commandment is new in reference to this old commandment. So please look with me again at Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, bear with me. Subpoint one. The foundation of the love under the Mosaic Law, as you love yourself. And people, I'm going to just tell you, I'm not going to develop the thought tonight, but this is how we all love in the human realm. As you love yourself, flesh love. Flesh love is based on that. Even altruism is based on how we love ourselves. I want to be loved by God, so I'm going to do great things for God. I don't know. I've never read, and I've talked to people who are Catholics or people of different. I don't know if Mother Teresa ever really truly believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior by faith alone, in Christ alone. I don't know if by accident or by theology, correct understanding of the Bible, she knew how to be filled with the Spirit. But let's talk for a moment. Can a person live a totally sacrificial life that she lived in the flesh? Yeah. Many people do it. They do it in the flesh. Because they want God to love them. This is the way they love this. This is the whole thing of their love is though about them. And I know you don't, if you really like her, you're not going to like that. But this is why we do things a lot of times. It's I want to be well thought of. And so this is the whole basis of how we love others. Even our husbands and wives sometimes. This is how we love ourselves. So, subpoint one, the foundation love under the Mosaic Law, as you love yourself. Therefore, love of the law, love by law, relies on the person's love of self. I say kiddingly sometimes that if you want to get a good deal sometime, go to somebody when they're feeling really good about themselves. You want to stay away when they don't like themselves. Somebody's mad at themselves today, don't ask them for a favor. You won't get it. You always want to talk to people when you know they really like themselves today. And when they really like themselves today, get in there and ask them to buy the used car or something. But not when they don't feel good. So, point one, the love by law relies on the person's love of self, his view of himself, his personal integrity, his personal appreciation of himself. Subpoint two, love of self means that all choices and actions motivated by this love are directed towards self or come from self, either way you want to look at it. They are done because of the person's own love of self. Here's the thing. What, under subpoint two, what is good for you is the basis of your love. Love one another as you love yourself. Principle, what is good for you is the basis of your love. And people, that's the way a lot of us love. What's good for me? Ever heard the expression, he or she is in love with themselves? They take, you know, an hour and a half in front of the mirror, all this kind of thing. Well, here's a news flash for you. Everyone who loves outside of the power of the Spirit loves for their own advantage, including you and I. When we're not in the power of the Spirit, we're going to love with occupation with ourselves in view. Subpoint three. Subpoint means you put a little parentheses around it. Subpoint three. The love commanded by the Mosaic Law is a love that focuses on you and what is good for you. While the love of the New Commandment focuses on Jesus Christ, someone else. Not you and the other person, but someone totally out of that, Jesus Christ. Subpoint four. Unlike, there's your key word, unlike the love of law, love by law, the love of the New Commandment, you do not set the standards for that love. You don't get to set the standards. Not your integrity, not your self-interest, not your desires. See, this is, people, spiritual love is totally opposed to our flesh nature. The flesh nature is totally out for you. Always remember that. The flesh nature is totally out for you. That's why the flesh nature is totally opposed to faith, because the flesh nature wants to be a part of everything. It wants to be a part of what's going on. So, I want to have a part in my salvation. So this is very important, people. The flesh nature is all about you. You get to set the standards. But not under spiritual love. You don't get to set the standard. Jesus Christ does. You're no longer the standard in spiritual love. Jesus Christ is. How He loved you. This is to be the standard of your love for others. I'm going to tell you something else. You can put it in notes here. Very important. This also sets the standard on how you love yourself. This also sets the standard on how you love yourself. I'm amazed at the number of people in the body of Christ that live in depression, anxiety, guilt, shame, so much about the insufficiency of themselves. Their love of their self is really low. So please put in your notes for yourself, or maybe you'll be talking to someone sometime. You want to love yourself as Christ loved you. And what a lot of people do, now watch me, because here's what they do. A lot of people say, well, if I'm real bad, He doesn't love me. Well then, here's my question. How good were you when He died on the cross for you? Did you earn that? No, we were His enemies. We were under total depravity. So I like to tell people in a warm way when I'm dealing with this, with dealing with someone who has a great deal of problem with self-identity and self and shame and guilt and all these things. People, listen. Look how you were and how much He loved you. You will never be as bad as you were then. And yet He loved you. It isn't based on that. So, please understand, this love of the New Commandment is not only how you're to love one another, it's going to be how you love yourself. How you love yourself, any and at all times, as Christ has loved you. So why I tell people, you want to be who you are in Christ. And the more you start thinking of that, then you'll understand how He can love me. Oh, I'm a failure. I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and on and on and on. But wait a minute. Is that the basis of His love for you? Does Christ love you by performance standard? Well, no. Then you don't love yourself by performance standard. You love yourself basis of who you are in Christ. It's a very important point. Most people love themselves based on Satan's lie. My self-worth. basis of love of self is my performance and others' opinion of me. And it's very important that you and I understand, no, we love ourselves as Jesus Christ loved us. If your performance, under the performance love, if your performance satisfies you, if others' opinion of you is good, then you love yourself. And there are people who live their whole life, God, they live their whole life trying to please their parents, their husband, their wife, somebody. Spend their life living that way. Their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, even 60s and 70s, still trying to please a mother and father who aren't even here. They're dead. And still consider themselves not adequate for that love. What a waste of time. What a waste of life. People, there's only one standard. It's not how your parents love you. Love one another as your parents love you. That would be bad for a lot of reasons. One, because mothers love us in spite. I mean, that's a whole other deal. And then some parents, they don't love us no matter what we did. So I'm glad he didn't say that. Love one another as your parents love you. Hey, you bum, you couldn't do anything right. Okay. No, he said, as Christ loved you. So this is so powerful, what we're seeing for so many areas of our life in dealing with this. Remember something else? On the subject of love. Note the phrase in Satan's lie, others' opinion of you. Most people's love is based on Satan's lie. Most people's love is based on how other people, if other people don't think well of you, you're really down on yourself. If other people applaud and think wonderful of you, you're very high on yourself. And that's why most people's lives are like a yo-yo emotionally. Because people are emotional yo-yos. One day they love you, one day they don't. Worst person to be in the world is to be a quarterback on a football team. Boy, you're doing well, and they're carrying you off the field, and they love you. You do poorly, and they want to hang you. They throw everything at you. And so we're up and down, up and down. No, this love is based on how Christ loves us. Subpoint 5, love commanded by the new commandment is based on how Christ loves us. Not your integrity, not your virtue, not the basis on how you love yourself, but on how Christ loves you. So we have to keep concentrating on how Christ loved us. And that's why I got to keep emphasizing His love. He doesn't love us on the basis of our performance. I always go back to the cross. He loved me at the cross. Did I earn or deserve it? Was I a good person then? No. But He still loved me with that great magnitude of love to lay His life down. God loved me with that great magnitude of love that He gave His only unique Son. So now that I am in Christ, the love is even greater, if we can talk in that sense of her expression. Subpoint 6. Here is a new foundation of love. Not as you love yourself. Not dependent on the energy of the flesh. But dependent on how He loves you. So we will begin here, end of point 2. We'll end here tonight and resume here. People, I don't know. To me, this is, to understand this whole issue of love is one of the greatest problems in the world today, not understanding this love. Understanding God's love for us, the basis of that love, the magnitude of that love, but most important for us, what's the impact of that love on us? What's the impact of love of Christ if we could sit and think about it? The impact of that love, one, brought us about salvation, eternal life, spirituality, but just a confidence of ourselves and who we are in Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. When we consider the basis of your love for us, it's not based on us. It's based on how your Son loved us. And even when we were sinners, He died for us. And as believers in sin, the way you have made for us to come back to you, the way you woo us home with the communion, just faith in your spirit and we're immediately in fellowship with you. What an awesome God you are. Father, we praise you for your love. I just wish that every believer for 5 minutes before they die would walk in this love. I wish they'd walk a lot longer, but I wish that every believer could taste this love and the reality of it in their soul just for 5 minutes before they leave earth. What an awesome God you are, Father. Pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.